One of the greatest Bible teachers of the last century was John Stott, for many years rector of All Souls Langham Place in London. He was hugely influential through his books, but also through his preaching. And young preachers wanted to be like John Stott. In fact, it was reckoned that if you went to a service at All Souls and closed your eyes during the sermon, you couldn't be sure whether it was John Stott or one of his curates preaching. They all wanted to sound like John Stott. Having a role model you want to imitate. It doesn't have to be quite like that, of course. But for all of us who take growing as Christians seriously, those role models are important. People we look up to. People it would be wise to learn from and to imitate. Of course, sometimes it's more a case of making sure that you don't imitate what someone else is doing. There are preachers I've heard who the only thing that I can really say I've learned from them is how not to do it. In his third letter, which we heard just now, the Apostle John wrote, "Dear friends, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. Make sure that you have the right role models." And in that short letter, John gave us pen portraits, as it were, of three Christians. So they lived around 1900 years ago, a bit more than that. But of course, people like them are still around. They're still around in the church today. Two of them show us something about the Christian life that it is good to imitate and it is good for us to display. One of them shows the opposite. So let's turn now to 3 John on page 1230. So we're coming to this, we're still in our series looking at the letters of John. Probably written in that period, maybe 40 years after Jesus' death and resurrection. And of course, this was at a time when the original apostles were aging. In fact, many of them had probably already died, been killed. At first, Paul, the other apostles, had traveled around evangelizing, teaching, founding churches. And it seems fairly clear as you read the New Testament epistles that the churches were linked together very loosely under the guidance of the apostles. But now, as I said, time has passed. The apostles are getting older. And sometimes younger leaders wanted to break free of the influence of the apostles, break free from the old ways. And that seems to be something of the situation behind 3 John. It was a letter sent by someone who just calls himself the elder. Traditionally, John, who wrote the Gospel of John as well. And the elder probably had oversight over one particular area. John certainly had that position in the church in what is now Turkey. So he writes to a member of one of those churches. And that introduces us to the first of our three people, Gaius. "To my dear friend Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, just as you are progressing spiritually. It gave me great joy when some believers came and testified about your faithfulness to the truth, telling how you continue to walk in it. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth." And it's something we've heard repeatedly over the last few weeks as we've studied John's first and second epistles. The importance of holding to the truth. Gaius was progressing spiritually, but he was doing that by being faithful to the truth. And it's a reminder for us that, as we've seen so often, the gospel is Jesus. Who he was and what he has done. Without Jesus, there would be no Christian faith. There would be no hope. The Christian faith is not about a load of rules telling you how to live. It is about what Jesus has done and how through his death and resurrection we are enabled to live. And of course that means that anything which tries to either add something to the gospel or take something away from the gospel is actually rejecting the gospel. And that means that the only way to progress spiritually, the only way to grow as a disciple, is to immerse yourself more and more in the Bible. To allow the Bible to increasingly shape what you do, what you say, how you think. The moment you start to look anywhere else for spiritual nurture, you will start to go backwards. Of course, we need those who can teach us, but we need to make sure that what they're doing is teaching us the Bible. Nothing more, nothing less. And one of the things that I think is so sad is when Christians who have been saved by the gospel of grace have kind of drifted away from that gospel. Not necessarily drifted away from the church, but no longer have that real passion for the gospel, that confidence in the gospel. But they get drawn away by their own ideas or by the ideas of others. And you can see it. You can see it even in church leaders. I can think of two or three people who were key evangelical leaders a few years ago, but who are now preaching what is really a different gospel. People who started the race well, but are now just drifting. How easy it can be to lose your passion for the truth and instead settle for Christian mediocrity. Or to get caught up with some doctrine or experience that becomes more important to you than the gospel. More important than the truth of God's word. And given that, I can understand what the elder says here in verse 4. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Of course, John wants the best for his dear friend Gaius. Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you just as you are progressing spiritually. Of course, he prays for material blessing for Gaius, but far more important is that Gaius should keep in the truth. And as a pastor, I could say I have no greater joy in ministry than to see people continuing to grow in the Christian faith and walk in the truth. One of the ways in which Gaius showed his commitment to the truth was in supporting those who were involved in Christian ministry. When visiting speakers came to the church, presumably part of John's team, Gaius welcomed them. And when those traveling preachers were involved in evangelistic work among the pagans, Gaius helped support them. So in verse 7, it was for the sake of the name that they went out, receiving no help from the pagans. We ought therefore to show hospitality to such people so that we may work together for the truth. Working together for the truth. Some in full-time ministry, some in employment, using their income to support full-time ministry, sharing in the work of the gospel. So that's Gaius. Our first pen portrait, and what a great role model. Because from him we see that a genuine Christian life is one that keeps its passion for the gospel, keeps its confidence in God's word. Because when you lose those things, you lose what is absolutely vital. But second, not such a good role model, Diotrephes. In verse 9, I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to be first, will not welcome us. It seems that Diotrephes was a leader in the local congregation under John's oversight, but he would no longer recognize John's position. He declared UDI and was running the church how he wanted. And when John wrote to the church, Diotrephes must have just binned the letter. And what's more, if anyone in the church tried to tackle him about it, they were just excommunicated. Diotrephes loved to be first. It's a very human temptation. It was what lay behind that first sin in Eden. Adam and Eve wanted to be the center of the garden, rather than allowing God his rightful place. And today, that desire to be first is what drives many people in the world. And not just in the world. Here, we see it in the church. John says nothing about Diotrephes being a false teacher. As far as we know, he was a Christian believer. His problem wasn't wrong belief. His problem wasn't that he'd fallen into some sort of immorality. His problem was his ego. And today it isn't only heretics that damage the church. You can be a sound as a pound evangelical. You can be a filled with the Spirit charismatic and still be a Diotrephes. Still overtaken with that desire for power. And when that happens, the church is damaged just as much as if heresy is being preached. Could be a youth leader who exercises too much control over his youngsters. Could be the pastor who bullies a flock. But it doesn't just involve leaders. It could be the home group member who always has to have the last word. It could be the PCC member who expects that her views will always be acted on. It could be the church member who expects that whenever they have a problem, the minister will immediately drop everything and be available for them. Diotrephes love to be first. But in the New Testament church, there is no attitude, no place for that attitude. It is all too easy to be like Diotrephes and not to realize what's happening. Which is why we have this good thing that we have this description of him so that we can avoid it. Dear friends, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. Anyone who does what is good is from God. Anyone who does what is evil has not seen God. This key issue in the Christian life is integrity, showing Christian character. If you want to live a life that pleases the Lord, if you want to be a good role model yourself, you cannot also want to be first. And finally, Demetrius. Demetrius is well spoken of by everyone, and even by the truth itself. It might be that Demetrius was the one who brought the elder's letter to Gaius, and that Gaius didn't know him, so John had to assure Gaius that Demetrius was a good man. He was someone who was well spoken of by everyone, which is a great thing to have said about you, but even more important, he was well spoken of by the truth. Strange expression, isn't it? Well spoken of by the truth itself. As I said earlier, the truth usually refers to the gospel, to God's word. So I think that what John means here is that even the Bible speaks well of Demetrius. In other words, the way that Demetrius lived, all that he did, just lined up with the Bible's teaching. And that's so important. You see, it's quite possible to live in such a way that though you are well spoken of by people, you are not well spoken of by the truth. In our increasingly post-Christian society, we're seeing more and more ways in which what our society says is right is different from what the Bible says is right. And at times, if we want to be well thought of by our society, it will mean ignoring or downplaying what the Bible says. But that was not what Demetrius did. He lived in a way which other people found attractive, but which was also in line with what God's word teaches. So how do you develop a life that is well spoken of by the truth itself. Well, there are no shortcuts. It comes about by spending time studying God's word, having God's word taught to you, allowing God's word to shape every area of your life, even those ones that are challenging. And it's a long process. And of course, it's a big challenge in the church today, where so many Christians hardly pick up their Bibles from Sunday to Sunday. When it does come to Sunday, they might go to church, but probably only once. And even then, they may well nod off during the sermon. But unless there's something a lot more serious than that going on in terms of engaging with God's word, they'll never be well spoken of by the truth. And it's this well spoken of, being well spoken of by the truth, having a life shaped by the Bible, that is at the heart of a life pleasing to God. So three people. One example for us to avoid, wanting to be first. Two examples for us to follow. A passion for the gospel and for God's word and a life shaped by God's word. I guess at this service, most of us have been Christians for many years. And so I think this little letter asks each of us here a question. Not just what sort of role models are you following, but what sort of role model are you being for the next generation of Christians, those who've recently come to faith and need older, more mature Christians that they can imitate. You see, if we are as a church to be growing disciples, Christ Church desperately needs Gaiuses. We need Demetriuses. We certainly don't need Diotrephes. So which are you? Are you modeling what is best for the next generation? Will they see in you someone who is committed to the truth of the gospel? Someone who's passionate about the Bible and is clearly being shaped by it? See, that's what the younger generation of Christians desperately needs today. And it is our generation who now have to be the role models.